When I get to my wits' end, I find God lives there. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with The Absolute Philosopher. When I get to my wits' end, I find God lives there. An interesting assumption. When we come to our wits' end, it means we are at the end of our decision-making, wisdom-making attitudes, and we're just empty. We do not know what to do next. And so then we sit in peaceful quietness and listen, and all of a sudden, the voice which has been speaking to us all along, we now hear it. It's not a new voice, it's not a new thought that is being said to us, but we now hear it. The mother calls to the kid, you know, and the kid turns it off and turns it off and turns it off. Finally, the mother says, "You come in here right now." And he turns it on. He says, "Oh, are you calling me?" She says, "Yes, I was. Now come in here. Now I'd like to tell you something. In the future, if I call you once, you come directly to the house. And if you tell me you don't hear me, it's because you have turned me off, and I'm going to come out there with a paddle and turn you on." And so there's no excuse for you not hearing me. Sylvia, I am God. And I've been calling you and calling you and calling you and calling you, and you have ignored me. Now, I'm done with that. The next time I call you, if you don't listen, I'm going to come and give you a paddling. Oh, what does that mean? Well, that means we start having sicknesses. We start having things not going our way. Life gives us a lot of troubles. The people in our world are very difficult to get along with. The circumstances in our world are difficult to get along with. We start saying, "But I have to do everything. I have to do everything. And nobody appreciates what I do." You see, all because we didn't listen when God indwelling was talking. When God indwelling is talking, God is saying to us simple, beautiful things. Be yourself and have fun. Do not be touched by the world about you. Be aware that you are the creator of your world. Enjoy yourself, like yourself, but above all else, the voice says to you, listen to me, for I will be there always to guide you into the highest and best. Now you can go without me. You can go to your highest and best without me. But if you do, you're going to have to walk over a lot of people. You're going to have to take privileges away from a lot of people. You're going to have to do a lot of things that the world doesn't consider very nice, but necessary for success, you know. But when you deal with me, when you deal with God, you don't ever have to walk over anybody. The door flies open and everyone says, "Good for you, Sylvia! Good for you! You're a chosen vice president! Good for you! Oh, how wonderful!" And they delight in your new position, in your new achievement. And they say, "Ingeborg, why is it that every organ, action, and function of your body is whole and perfect, and here you are 192? How can that be?" And Ingeborg says, "Well, to begin with, I'm not 192. I am 25, and I live like I'm 25, I am 25, I do everything as a 25-year-old, and the 25-year-old that I was when I was 25-year-old was very healthy and very happy and very harmonious, right?" Okay, so she says, "That's who I am, and my divine responds to me from what I think I am. I think I am a dynamic, young, enthusiastic person, healthy in every possible way." It sounds good, doesn't it? And that's the way you want to have it sound. That's the way you want to have it be. Now, if Ellen listens to the divine within her, the divine within Ellen says, Ellen, cool it. Ellen, relax. Ellen, be peaceful. Ellen, create every single person in the world pouring abundance on you, pouring genius on you. Whenever you have a question, the person who has the answer is there before you to give it to you. The Al who needed to give you the right answer is there. Not because he's available, not because he wants to be, but because you create him there. And he does not take it as an imposition that you ask him professional questions on the phone, for which you might not pay him. He doesn't take it in that way at all. He just says, oh, you're my special people. You're my special person. You see, this is what Ellen has in her consciousness, and so this is the results Ellen has. Ellen has in her consciousness that her bank book is always overflowing with abundance, you know. Ellen has in her consciousness that everywhere she turns, she is just besieged with people wanting to contribute to the organization here, to support the programs and to support the projects that we have, believing in us 100%. That's what Ellen believes, you know? And as long as Ellen believes that, then the divine in her makes her aware of the people who are just walking by and they didn't even think of donating here. They thought of donating lots of other places, but because Ellen is now open and receptive to abundance from every possible source, it begins to come. It begins to come. And then as it comes, it compounds itself in such beautiful ways that everything is taken care of and everything is in order and everything is wonderful. You see, when I'm at my wit's end, I find God there. Give up, Ellen. Give up. Be at your wit's end. and let God do its wonderful magic in you, as you, through you. You see, this is a great and a glorious thing, and it can only be done when we get to our wit's end. In other words, when we turn, because nothing else worked, to the divine within. I've done everything I know how to do. Well, now listen, and maybe you'll learn to do something you didn't know how to do. Something you had never dreamed was a way that works in a way that's so positive and so fantastic. So let go and let God. That's what it means. Let go and let the divine reveal through you all the mysteries and magic and wonderment that it has for you. Because what you're doing, what each of us are doing, is so mundane, so ordinary. There's no sparkle in it. There's no magic in it. We don't do the magic because we say, my goodness, you know, I've got to be down to earth on this. Who says? Let go. Have you ever wondered what would happen? This monk in the monastery floated. And the other monks were always tying him down. But why? If he's in the monastery, he's only going to go to the ceiling, you know, and then, or maybe he'll go through it. But what if he's outdoors? I mean, the monks can't be with him 124 hours a day. But what if he's outdoors? Or what if he's in his bed and the window's open and he floats out the window? How high would he go? Where would he go? What would he do? Would he be wearing his monk robe when he floats out of his bed, or would he be naked? And they say, look at that naked man floating by in the sky, you know? Or look at that monk floating by in the sky. Of course, just for general purposes, you'd have him have his monk robe on so that people would recognize he was a monk, you know. And my goodness, that's that monk that floated. I always thought that was just a game they were playing. But that's a real monk who's really floating. Isn't that interesting? Oh my goodness, I've got to go to church. I believe, you know. And then all of a sudden, the church fills up on Sunday because they have seen this floating monk. This monk who demonstrated something rather unusual. But now, Why didn't he go straight up to the moon? Huh? He could have. We all can, and we all do many times. But you see, when we do that, it's generally with an OBE, without an outer body experience. We leave our body behind. And then it doesn't matter whether we're in the stratosphere, the atmosphere, the ionosphere, or whatever it is that we are in. It doesn't really matter. Because we are mind. We are thought. We are body conscious, but not body form. The body we left in bed. And we're floating all around. And some people say, oh, I can feel the cold. You're silly. Your physical feeling body you left behind, it may have the covers fall off it or something, but it's not because you're up here that it feels cold. But you see, this is some of the magic that we deal with. And this is not a joke. This is not a joke at all. These things happen to people constantly. These things happen to people in every way, shape, and form. And just remember, they tell grisly stories about exhuming a body and finding that the body had not died before it was buried, and it was clawing at the roof of his casket underground, and of course, to no avail. But truly, if that body, if that being were not so frightened, it would just say, I'm going to take an OBE and an out-of-body journey and go right up and go someplace and somehow make its presence be known so that somebody would dig him up and bring him out and take care of it, you know. But this is not impossible. This has happened many times, and they have records of these things, and it's not so often that it happens that it's common, but it has happened. And people laugh at it because they say, oh, sure, people are making up the story. And they weren't. They weren't. You see, magic is such a wonderful thing. And everything that God does seems like magic. And we are so afraid that this magic is not going to be accepted as real. But what do we care? We are ourselves and we're having fun. And if anyone believes what we do, great. If not, great. Can you tell me on a stack of Bibles, Sylvia ends, can you tell me on a stack of Bibles that you believe the Buddha went into Nirvana and came back? Can you believe it? Can you tell me on a stack of Bibles that?
Yes.
No.
Do you believe it?
I believe it.
Why do you have to use a stack of Bibles?
He was
a Buddhist.
Yeah.
Well, why do you believe it?
That's a part of the magic.
Why you believe it? Because you know it in your heart.
Yeah.
Now, why? I was going to give you the answer, but do you believe that Jesus did what he did?
I know. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
What do you mean? I don't know.
I know.
Oh, I know. I know. Okay. Do you believe that, Ingeborg?
Yes.
Why do you believe it? Does Rex believe? Yeah, oh, excuse me, I didn't take you into account. You believe it too, huh? Do you know all the stories too? We probably should tell you the stories, and then you can build your own consciousness, right, Rex? Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, I will tell you. And so, you see, these are wonderful things that happen to all of us. They're wonderful things that, and we don't have to prove to anybody that we believe it. We don't have to prove to anybody that we had a vision. A vision! I mean, anything, it's so stupid to have a vision, you know. You can't prove that at all, you know. And we were told, our divine told us what to do. Yeah, sure, okay, what did the divine tell you what to do? It said, go to the third rock on the right outside the back door and you'll find a pot of gold. Well, did you do it? No, not yet, I've been busy. Well, do you mind if I look? No, if I find it, can I keep it? Sure. You know, and so the guy goes and digs, and there it is, and he keeps it. But, you know, you see, you can get the message. You can be told the divine things, and if you don't follow through, it really does belong to somebody else. Yeah, just like the little boy. He says, I don't want to be photographed. I don't want to be in pictures. And so he gave it to the other guy. And it worked out just perfect. Mm-hmm. It worked out just perfect, as it always does. So think on these things. When I get to my wit's end, there I find God lives. Wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have a nice evening and do beautiful things and know that I'm always with you, thinking beautiful thoughts.
Thank you.
Because I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.